But tonight we're going to look at how God answers prayers. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I enjoy preaching in series. I was in Texas too long. Sorry, guys. But this is one of the last lessons that we dealt with when it came to prayer. We had looked at the purpose of prayer. I've always enjoyed the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That should always be in our prayers. We talked about the power of prayers in our lives and those who have the privilege of prayer. And now we're going to look at, what we looked at next was how God answers prayer. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened to him. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Sometimes we begin to doubt God, whether He's heard our prayers, whether our prayers are being accepted by Him, when we don't immediately get the answer we think we ought to get. We feel that maybe He isn't listening, maybe He doesn't understand us. To this really is an attitude that comes from two issues. One is not trusting God. I don't think most of us have that problem. Maybe at some point in our lives we had, but for the general rule, we don't have that problem of trusting God. We trust God. We know Him. We know He knows us. He's the Creator. He sent His Son. But sometimes if we don't trust Him, we'll begin to question Him. But also we begin to question God because we don't understand properly or fully how God answers our prayers. We don't quite comprehend everything He does. This lesson we're going to look at four different ways God answers our prayers. I'm sure there's more. I'm not the all-knowing authority on this. But there's at least four ways I have found in Scripture that God answers our prayers when we ask. And the first one is just yes. Sometimes God answers our prayers exactly how we envision them being answered. Look at Psalm 18 and verse 6. Psalm 18 and verse 6, God, of course, as we look through the life of David, answered his prayers many times. In Psalm 18 and verse 6, he talks about that a little bit. Psalm 18 and verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. So what instance Daniel may be calling upon, I'm not sure. But whatever it was, he said, I called to God, I needed help, and God gave it to me. Sometimes God answers yes. He'd been dealing with both the enemies of Israel and the enemy of Saul personally here in this time. And that's what he's dealing with. Look at Psalm 118 and verse 5. Psalm 118 and verse 5. He talks about, again, a time where he called out to God and God answered. Psalm 118 and verse 5. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. So here we see David cried out to God for one reason or another, and God's answer was yes. The answer was yes. Psalm 138, one more psalm. Look at Psalm 138. In this psalm, he's giving thanks to God. He is praising Him for being almighty and all-knowing. And in verse 3, again, he highlights that. Look at verse 3, Psalm 138 and verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased. Again, an immediate, direct answer to David's prayer. God just said yes. He will be more likely to answer our prayers yes when we're putting the kingdom first. This morning, when I preached at Stark City, we talked a little bit about it. But look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. We know what that verse says, but sometimes we leave out what comes before it. Matthew 6 and verse 33, we all know Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's a verse we quote often. It's a verse songs have been written about. But do we pay attention to what these things are? Beginning of verse 25, Christ tells us. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. Is it not more than food, and the body more than clothing? skip down to verse 29. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these, speaking of the flowers. But if God so clothes the grass of the earth that is thrown, is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So therefore, don't be anxious. Don't worry about those things. If you take care and put Christ first in your life, if you're putting the kingdom first, your prayers, whether they be for physical things or spiritual things, have a better chance of being answered when we're putting God first and thinking of Him first in our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Solomon hits on this as Christ alluded to there when speaking about Solomon. But Proverbs chapter 3, begin at verse 5. Again, we see trust in the Lord, and as a reward for that, God answering our prayers. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Not directly, but we see through how we honor God, our prayers will be answered. We will be prosperous, not always in a physical way, but if we're putting God first, whatever it is that we're asking for, God will take care of us. God will answer yes. There are some conditions for God to answer our prayers yes. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, that first condition, if we want God to answer our prayers, is of course to be asking according to His will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 15. And this is the confidence we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we will have the request that we have asked of Him. So first we have to ask according to His will. If we want a yes, if we want God to give us what we're requesting, it has to be according to His will. And second, we have to have our lives right with God. Back up two chapters to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And this we know by that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given to us. So how are we going to get our prayers answered? How will we know that God is hearing us if we're living a life that's in line with what He has told us? If we're following His commandments. So if we want a yes, we must ask according to His will and be following what Christ has told us. The next answer we're going to look at is one that, well, we don't deal with well. And that is yes, but not yet. We often have a hard time with this yes, but not yet. Naturally, we get excited whenever we pray for something, whether it's someone to be healed or something physical in our lives or a spiritual blessing. If we ask for that and we get it right, then we're excited. We rejoice, we praise God. But when we have to wait, we don't always handle that quite as well as we should. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to see that Solomon tells us that it turns out God's on a little different timetable than us. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." But then look at verse 11 as well. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's hands so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." He has made everything beautiful in its own time. When the time is right, God will give us what we ask for. The time is not always immediately. We live in a society, in a world where everything's right now. We have fast food driving and microwave food and everything else has to be right now, instant gratification. I don't even watch TV shows on live TV anymore. I always record them or pause them so I can skip through the commercials. I don't want to sit through those. It's an instant gratification sort of thing. There's no fast forward for God's answers to prayer. Sometimes it's just wait. Yes, but not yet. Look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 7. The problem is sometimes we think that God is saying no, when in fact He has said, yes, wait. Yes, hold your horses, be patient. I will give you what you ask because it's what you need, but you're going to have to wait just a sec. Look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 7. Back up to verse 1 so we can have some context for this parable. And He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And He said to them, in a certain city there was a judge who was neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to Him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while He refused, but afterward He said to Himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect, who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Sometimes we struggle with this parable. God's not saying, keep asking me until I get tired of listening to you, and then I'll finally give you what you want. The point of this parable is persistence. Keep asking. Just because we pray to God once, whether it's for a loved one to be healed, whether it's for something at work, in our lives, raising our children, in our marriage, in the church even, we can't just pray once and check mark, I prayed for that, God will just give it to me whenever it's time. This is something we must continue to pray for. We don't pray for the sick once and mark them off our bulletin and never mention them again. We pray for them every week, twice a week, three times a week, and we should be praying for them on our own at home. Just because God doesn't answer yes right away doesn't mean it's yes. It doesn't mean it's no completely. He might say yes. We must continue and continue to pray. When we do ask God for something, His answer appears to be yes, but wait. We need to have patience with that. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. We know Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful unto death and you'll receive a crown of life. That's patience in our own lives. But Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, we'll see that there is a reward for persistence, for faithfulness, and this applies to our prayer life as well. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your works and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Of course, he's alluding a little bit to what he's going to say later in Hebrews 11, when he talks about faith and persistence in what we call the Faith Hall of Fame, if you will. But we have to remain faithful because God's answers are not always immediate. It's not always just, you know, theoretically God pushing a button, yes, every time you pray. Sometimes it's going to take a while. As our text says, we have to continue to knock, continue to ask, and continue to seek. Luke 11, 9 and 10. Again, not just knock once on the door and then go away. We have to knock and wait to see if there's an answer. The same thing with God. Sometimes we have to wait. When God says, yes, but wait, it requires patience. It requires confidence in God and patience in His answer. We need to trust that when He says yes and not wait, that's a good answer. But the next one may be even harder for us to see and comprehend. And that's yes, but not as you think. God doesn't always answer our prayers as we think He will. He may answer them immediately and we may miss it because we're not looking for the answer God gives us. Look at Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Again, another oft-quoted verse and we know it well. But just turn there with me. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and verse 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And he could have possibly added, the way God answers prayers are not the way you would answer prayers. God doesn't answer them and work in our lives exactly the way we always think He will. It turns out we don't always know best, but God does. And if we allow Him and trust Him to work in our lives however it will be, to answer our prayers however He sees best, we will be most blessed. For example, when we ask for strength and steadfastness, He's not just going to give us more. He may give us a trial. He may give us a trial of steadfastness and a trial time where we ought to, where it grows our thankfulness. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Paul illustrates it better than I could. Philippians chapter 1. verses 29 and 30. Philippians 1, 29 and 30, Paul says, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I am still having." Sometimes we may ask for more patience, and God sends us a situation where we have to have more patience to get through it. We don't always like that answer, but if we are struggling with something, God may give us a trial to grow that attribute, to grow that thing that we need to be working on. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, again, Paul's going to talk about how these hardships can grow the very things we desire, but we may not like it. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. "More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, not just because they're fun, but for what he goes on to say, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So Paul says that if you ask for endurance or character or more hope, your answer might be, well, here's a trial. It's going to grow your hope. It's going to grow your endurance. It's going to grow your perseverance. Sometimes God gives us things that we struggle through, we don't always see, but they're good for us. When we think about how God looks at time and looks at our lives, He sees all of it at once. God sees from the beginning to the end all at once. For us, it's like you have a painting and you put it all the way up to your face and your nose is touching it. It probably isn't very clear and you can't tell what that painting is. But when you take a step back, hold the painting further away, you begin to see the whole picture. Those aren't just splotches or paint smeared on there. It actually creates a whole picture. When we look back at our lives, when we've asked God for things and we think the answer was no at the time, we can look back and say, you know what, now that I see the bigger picture, God was answering my prayer, just maybe not in the way I thought it would be. Sometimes if we're looking for a specific answer, we end up limiting God. Not that He's limited by our thoughts, but if we're just looking for one certain answer and we ignore His other answers He gives us, we're going to miss the blessings that can come from that. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. If we pray for a specific answer and are only looking for that specific answer, we're in a sense trying to handcuff God. We're not allowing Him to work in our lives how He sees best fit, because we think we already know what's best fit. We have to trust God that sometimes the answer is not what we think. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." He can do more than we ask or even imagine. So why do we think we know how God is going to answer our prayer? We have to trust that sometimes the answer is we're not sure how it's going to work, but we trust God. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 verse 6 is sometimes, well, if we don't know how God's going to answer our prayer, how do we know what to pray for? Well, we don't always know. But we have, again, God has given us a way for this. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." So if we don't even know what to pray all the time, and the Spirit fills in those holes for us, how in the world do we think we know what the answer is going to be if we weren't even sure what we needed? We have to trust God and understand that His answers to our prayers not always are as we should. If we limit the how and the why, we may end up limiting the result. For example, if we pray for the sick, if we ask that God be with the doctors, and that's it, aren't we limiting God's work to just the doctors? We can't limit Him when we pray. We just read He is able to do more than we can even imagine, so why do we limit Him when we pray? We should just pray for God to heal the sick, if that's His will, and leave the how and the why and to what time and in what manner to Him. We are still to pray. I'm not saying don't pray for the sick. Oh, God will take care of that. We still have to pray. But we can't think that we can limit Him, because even though He's not limited by us, we're limiting our ability to see His answer. Sometimes His answer is not what you think. When we pray to God, our trust in Him should allow us to accept whatever answer He may give us, no matter what method He chooses, no matter what answer it is. And sometimes it's that fourth answer, the one we don't like, and that answer is no. No person ever likes no. My kids don't like being told no. Nobody likes no, because I tell them no for a reason. It's normally for their own good. Don't touch the hot thing. It might hurt. Don't pull that vase over. It might hit your head. They don't understand that. They just go, no, what a meanie. I can't do what I want to do. God's the same way. He might tell us no, but know this, it's never not because of our own good. It's always for our own good. There are times where God will just flat up deny our requests. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 in verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. No, we may not always be asking for our own selfish needs, but if we ask wrong by whatever reason, if we're asking wrong for the wrong motivations, for the wrong reasons, even if we think ourselves it's a good reason, it's not a personal reason at all, sometimes it's not God's will. He's going to say no. Look at Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 5. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 5. Again, this concept of a father in discipline. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which you have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have an earthly father who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Telling us no in a prayer, to a prayer request, may not always be discipline, but it's for a reason. As our Heavenly Father, just as a physical father says to his son, we don't tell our kids no because we think it's fun when they cry. That's not why we tell them no. We tell them no for their own good. God tells us no for our own good, not because He chuckles that we get frustrated with Him, but because we're His sons, He is not necessarily disciplining us, but He's teaching us patience, teaching us, and we're better for it. Because He tells them, aren't you respectful of your fathers because it disciplines you? Aren't you glad? Because I know I am. I'm glad I got spanked growing up. It only happened, what, once or twice, Dad? Right? Just a few times. But as much as I... Oh, three. Okay, sorry. As much as I may have hated it then, I'm so thankful for it. I'm thankful that I was disciplined. I'm glad I'm not like some of the other kids I got to see grow up. You teachers know what I'm talking about. I'm glad I'm not like them because I was punished. Yes, it stunk at the moment. And it stung for a while afterwards. I can tell you that. That belt's not comfortable. But there was a reason for that. And looking back, just like when God tells us no, I'm sure there's been times where we've asked for something, we didn't get it. Years later, we look back and go, ha, that's why. That makes sense. God already knows that. If He tells us no, it's because of our own good. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3. I know your pages might stick together a little bit there. Mine do sometime. It's not a book we often reference. But Habakkuk dealt with the same problem. He had a prayer. He had a request. And he was essentially told no. The first part of Habakkuk, he cries out. Habakkuk, of course, was a prophet of Israel during a very turbulent time for Israel. And he cries out and he says, God, why are you allowing Israel to suffer? Why are you allowing these evil people to come in and take over your children, the people you've sanctified? God, will you not destroy them? And in the first chapter, God says, if I had told you everything I was doing, you wouldn't even understand it. And so Habakkuk, the first part of the book, is struggling with why God does what He does. Why God is essentially telling him no. Why God is telling Israel no, you're going to be taken over by evil people. Chapters 2 and chapter 3 is his song and his prayer to God. And verse 17 of chapter 3 kind of sums up how he's feeling. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. So Habakkuk says, okay, God, even though I don't understand why you're saying no, even though I don't understand the point of this, I still put my trust in you. I still understand that you are God, and you know what's best, and I will put my trust in you. When God tells us no, that's what we have to do. We still have to continue to love Him. We still have to continue to put our trust in Him. Just because God says no, that doesn't mean He's abandoned us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, just because we get a no doesn't mean God doesn't love us. Just because when our parents told us no, that didn't mean they didn't love us, but there's a reason for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one spirit. That doesn't make any sense with my lesson. I know I had something meaningful there. What I'm referring to is, I'm not sure where it is, and maybe it's 2 Corinthians, it's when Paul asked for his thorn in the flesh to be taken away, whatever that was. He asked it to be taken away, and God says, no, you're keeping it, and it's for a reason. Do you understand everything? No. Paul says, maybe it's because so I wouldn't get too cocky, too confident. But God gave him an answer, no. And we often, you know, think, well, whatever that physical or spiritual impairment was, surely he could have done better in life if he didn't have that. But God says no. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. Maybe that's where I wanted to be. Yes! 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 and 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 9. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says, looking back, when I asked Him three different times, take this away, He said no, and in that moment I didn't get it. In that moment I didn't understand, but now, looking back, I see why. It's so I wouldn't become conceited. Sometimes God is going to do the same things to us. We may think that getting rid of something that we think bogs us down is going to be the best answer. Sometimes God says no because there's another reason. There's something better. Again, we just have to be patient and understand sometimes God tells us no. This evening we've looked at four different ways God answers prayer. Yes. Yes, but not now. Yes, but not in how you think. And sometimes no. But no matter what God's answer to our prayer is, no matter how bad we think it is, no matter how unfair, no matter how upset we may be, we need to have confidence that whatever answer we got, that's the one that's best for us. I have a dear friend, some of my clan that came here with me, and Jonathan and Tucker will know him. His name's Bobby Kern. He was a counselor. He was my first counselor at Green Valley. In his first year as a counselor, I was a first-year camper, and we've been there together. He's had all three of us, and I'm sure Jonathan's had him too as a counselor. He's a character. He's a great man, but he has his youngest son has Down syndrome. And on Facebook, not that long ago, he put, 1 year ago today, I was kicking the bed, I was punching the wall, I was banging, I was screaming, I was yelling, I was asking God why. What have I done to deserve this? Here's a man who has a bachelor's, a master's, and maybe a couple doctorate degrees, all in the area of ministry. He's a youth minister, a preacher, he's a great man of God. But even sometimes, men like that, in the moment, we don't understand. Now I'm sure as many people who have had kids with some sort of handicap one way or another, that he's been blessed greatly by Josiah. I'm sure he's been a great asset in his life. I'm sure he would sing his praises for the whole time preaching if we let him. But the point is, sometimes we don't always understand. We don't always get why. But no matter what, God does it for what's best. God gives us our answer, whether it's yes, yes not now, yes not in the way you think or no. It's always for our best, and we need to remember that. We should never grow weary of praying because we never know what the answer might be or when it will come. So this evening, if you've struggled with prayer in some way, if you've struggled with an answer God has given you, have faith. Because no matter what it is, it's for the best. Maybe it's because you're not asking the right thing. Maybe it's because you're looking for the wrong answer. Maybe it's because you're looking on the wrong timetable. If we trust in God and we ask for something and continue to ask for it, know that the best possible outcome will always happen for our own souls, for our salvation. So if you're dealing with a problem, with an answer to a prayer, if you're dealing with any problem, or you want to put on Christ in baptism so God answers your prayers in the first place, you can come forward as we stand, as we sing the invitation song.